Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, ladies and gents, so it is Thursday today, which is very late for us.
Very,
we almost
late.
Didn't think we were going to squeeze one in this week. We
almost
were
didn't
so
squeeze one in.
Tight.
So tight.
For time.
And, for time.
And other things that you get tight for. That was a bit tricky. But Thursday morning, 10 o'clock, we thought, come
Oosh.
On, let's do it. I've just sent my lad off packing to Korea.
I mean,
it's quite scary,
that's
isn't it?
A big deal. Tell them about the non-stop flight and the connecting flight.
Well, I think he's got a flight now to China where he's got to connect in China and then go to Japan where he meets up with his girlfriend who is Korean and her family. And then they spend 3 days in Japan and then they fly to Korea and spend the rest of the time there and then he has to fly back.
But stopping over in China is big.
It's probably quite scary,
isn't
it?
What airport is he stopping over at?
I mean...
Oh, like in the middle of China?
One in China. I don't really know. I think it's a major one.
It's not Shanghai or...
I don't think so, no.
No, it's not that major. That's too major. Because we were thinking, you know, are there going to be signs in English? Like, is it going to be...
Easy.
Easy. But we're a bit nervous, aren't we?
Yes, and he's a bit nervous. So he's 17, Joel, and he just decided that he would go and see his girlfriend because she's gone back there. She's at university here. She's gone back there. And she just said, why don't you come out? So he said, could I go? And I was like, yeah, sure, let's work it out. You know, so he found the cheapest possible flights, obviously. So he didn't kind of screw me over. But actually, I'd rather have paid a bit extra and got him direct flights.
And it wasn't that much to get him a direct flight.
It wasn't,
bless
really,
him, and
no.
He's gone via China. No. I mean, and also, what a learning curve. I mean,
oh, it'd be amazing.
So brave.
Yeah.
And so... So terrifying and exciting,
yeah,
all wrapped into one.
So we left this morning, was looking a bit nervous, but we'll just stay in touch with him via the FaceTimes and WhatsApps and Instagrams and things like that. So I'm going to relax about that. He takes off at 12 o'clock today. It's currently 10 o'clock, so he's got a couple
and
of
I
hours.
And I was also really pleased that, you know, he gave himself plenty of time, got
yes,
nice and
he's
early.
Been sensible about it.
Yeah.
So that's all good. How are you? You saw your pill documentary last night. It's
yes.
Being screened.
So that is being aired next week on Thursday. So
a little bit of promo for it.
This week's podcast. Yes.
Could give us a synopsis
of it? Yes, I will. I'll give
you
a synopsis
of it.
So basically, after doing the menopause documentary, it came to light that, you know, we were spoken to by lots of young people about, well, when are you going to do something about the pill? And it was literally an outpouring. So many people were asking. And actually, it is quite funny because when I think about it, I think hormones suit me. Like, I don't, I've got on quite well with HRT, but HRT definitely isn't for everybody. I got on quite well with the pill. I mean, I say in the documentary, I was very troubled in my teens. Whether any of that was exacerbated by hormones or by being on the pill, I don't know or not. But I was a mess anyway. You know, it's not like I was absolutely fine and then I was a mess. I was a mess already.
Yeah.
And then later on in life, I've got on very well with the coil. So I have a coil fitted on the documentary, which I think was quite helpful for some people. Some people talked to me about that afterwards. Other people said that was not their experience. I was very, very lucky because it was being filmed. I did go. We did pay for it. We went privately. And we had Dame Leslie Regan fit it. And she's a very, very experienced seasoned gynecologist. She's fitted thousands of them.
And she's a dame.
And she's a dame for fitting, you know,
yeah.
For marvellous fitting. No, she's a dame for...
Vaginas.
I mean, this woman, Dame Leslie Regan, is worth a Google. She is single-handedly... If we need to keep this woman safe at all costs because she is single-handedly doing amazing things by lobbying and badgering government, and she'll do it with any future governments to help women's health get a higher priority within the government. There was nobody looking at contraceptives for women in the government. There was nobody kind of thinking about it. There was nobody thinking, how can we... I mean, it's harder now to access contraception for women than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And that is really silly.
I've got a theory about that.
Yeah, go on.
And obviously you can laugh at my theory if you like, but you know, there seems to be a global shortage of people having babies. Do you think there's perhaps a conspiracy somewhere to say, let's not make it easier to not have babies? Let's not make it a greater choice. Why don't we should be encouraging people
I
to have children?
That is a conspiracy theory.
A false one?
Yes.
Okay. Can you have real conspiracy theories? A conspiracy is when you conspire against somebody. So
no,
it could be a real thing.
If you are really conspiring against somebody,
yeah.
Then that is true. But you've come up with a conspiracy theory.
Yes, it is a theory.
That isn't true.
Could be, though, do you think?
Yes, but then this is where a conspiracy theorist becomes frightening, when they start thinking that their conspiracy theory is
real.
And it has not been proven.
I was asking you, because you have been making this documentary,
do you think there's any incentives
from any governments?
No.
Okay.
But I do think, having spoken to a lot of young women, a massive problem for us is that young women believe that they would be doing the planet a favour by not having children,
yes,
which is categorically not the case.
Yeah.
And secondly, that young women are financially not in a place, often with... Sorry, if you can hear an alarm going off. Yes. Poor Sonny is trying to get out of the snooze zone.
Yeah.
If a woman nowadays is... you know, more career driven, you want to get out there and live your life.
Yeah.
You're...
But this is my theory, I guess. There's a lack of incentive for people to have children.
Yes, but that's nothing to do with whether they can access contraceptive. Governments aren't saying we're not going to let girls access contraceptives so we have babies.
But you could see there is a link between those two things, couldn't you? Because
contraception
stops you from having children.
Yeah.
But if you had less access to good contraception, there would be more children.
Which there are more. I mean, 45% of pregnancies at the moment are unplanned.
Unplanned.
And one in four of those ends in a termination.
Wow. It's really great that you get access to all this information, isn't it? And can I just say how good you are at spreading the information around? I mean, when you come in from a day's filming, you often tell me all about it. And then I always think, you're formulating what to say to a broader audience by bouncing it off me
but
first.
Also I really want to tell you
I realize that, but and I also don't, it's not like a critical observation. I like the fact that thinking, I want to tell more and more people about this. I'm going to talk to you about it and then formulate what I want to say, and then I see like 24 hours later
it does help.
You've told people about it on Twitter and Instagram and all the rest of it, so congratulations on doing that.
I actually didn't invite you to this because I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking forward to watching it with you
when it goes out.
So it's Thursday, Channel 4, 9 o'clock.
9 p.m.
Yeah.
Thursday on Channel
4. Thursday the 8th.
The 8th
of June.
So,
and if you miss it, don't worry, you can watch it.
And it's quite good for everybody to watch, isn't it? I think this is the thing, is that it would be quite good for boys to watch.
Absolutely.
I mean, teenage boys.
Yeah,
and boys
to understand
what
women go through.
Yeah, yeah.
That it is interesting. One of my first recommendations, in fact, is for a business that we talk to on this documentary. And it's because it is such a useful platform that nobody really knows about, because it hasn't had the marketing or the advertising spend yet. But I was sat next to Yinka Bikini, who was hosting the awards. Yinka Bikini's worth a Google as well. Mm. Her brother is in Ted Lasso.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Say no more. Mm. The Bikini family are amazing. But Yinka is one of my favourite female TV presenters. She's a very smart young woman who is just really, really good at presenting. She's clever, she's cool, she's edgy, but she's also mainstream. She's kind of slightly politically minded. She's she's just brilliant. She's very, very good. Anyway, it's called The Lowdown. What? This business that I want to recommend. Yeah, yeah. So on, go Google the lowdown, and then if it comes up with some weird stuff, type in pill after it.
Okay.
And it will get you to the site. So on Instagram, it's called Get the Lowdown. I'm going to find out what it is on... Oh, it is thelowdown.com. Mm-hmm. So it is how you find your contraceptive of choice.
Okay.
So basically, it's like the TripAdvisor for your vagina. Mm-hmm. It is, you type in all your kind of preferences. So if you want progesterone only, if you want the mixed, or if you just want acne...
Solver, or get
rid of heavy periods, or it will ask your opinion. Do you want to bleed? Do you want this? Da, da, da. So you can browse 5,000 plus reviews, and they're increasing all the time. Also, I would like to say to anybody out there who's on the contraceptive pill or any kind of contraceptive, if you are enjoying your method of contraceptive, please go down to the lowdown.com and review it on there, because women need good reviews as much as bad. Yeah. We need to know if people have enjoyed their experience of it as well.
Yes, it's all
they will recommend you a pill so you can find your match. You can speak to a doctor on there as well, and pills will get delivered to your door.
Really?
Yes. It's absolutely brilliant.
Great.
You can compare side effects. You can explore the combined pill. They've got loads of articles. They are brilliant. The Lowdown is the way forward in contraceptives. And I'm not paid to say this. I sound like I am. But I'm so evangelical about what they do that I'm going to shout about them from the highest rooftops. Get.the.lowdown on Insta as well.
Very good. I think because lots and lots of women listen to this show and probably less men, I can kind of imagine perhaps what's going through some people's minds, which is that why is it always women?
Yeah.
But you, I don't know whether you can talk about it or not. You did stumble across a kind of male contraception.
Well, what's really sad is we had so much good stuff to put in this documentary. Yeah. We were only allowed an hour, which is 45 minutes of TV time plus ads. And we did interview a guy, but in the end, it felt like it was a kind of add-on. So, but there was and is a male contraceptive in the testing kind of zone. And they have been testing it, I think, for 5 years already. It's got about five or six more years to go. Because obviously any new medicine has to go through rigorous testing before it goes
to the market, human
trials. So this, I interviewed a man who'd been using it for several years with his partner, because his partner had had terrible side effects on the pill. She came off the pill because said she couldn't believe how much better she felt.
Yeah.
And her partner, a long-term partner, was like, look, we're not ready to have a baby yet, so I'm happy to go on it. It was a mutual decision not to have a child, and he said, I'm willing to take the burden. No side effects at all. It takes 3 months to work. It's a gel, and it takes 3 months to stop working.
Okay.
And it's effective, but also has no effect on your fertility. So he came off it 3 months later. They got pregnant, had a baby, and they chose when to have a baby. I don't know what the other, like, how it's going, but it is hopeful. And obviously, you know, as a mum of teenage girls, I would probably say, you know, as a teenager in a nightclub and you meet a man, don't trust him if he says he's on the male contraceptive. But
see, this is very interesting.
But
I think more men would take it than you realise.
Yes, but you can't trust a man. You think about yourself.
Yeah, yes.
When you were 17 or 18, what would you have done if you had the opportunity to have sex with a girl?
Yeah.
Would you have said anything to get her into bed?
Probably. But had there been a male contraception, I would have taken it in a heartbeat.
Because probably is not good enough.
Well, it's
when you're thinking about risk of having a baby, and you're the one that has a baby, and you might never see that boy again. I would say male contraception is much more geared towards people in relationships.
Yeah, I'd be really fascinated to see how that plays out, because certainly having been a man my whole life and a young man and an active man, let's say, I would have taken a contraceptive all day long, non-stop, until I was ready to have a kid.
I would like to say that I do feel like sometimes your beautiful attitudes
it's not
towards women are not the mainstream.
Yeah, yeah, maybe you're right, maybe you're right. But do you remember we watched that TV show called Exit?
And yes.
The guy had secretly had a vasectomy.
Yes.
Him and his wife were trying to get pregnant.
Yes.
And he basically just says, I'm not going to tell her I've had a vasectomy. We'll just...
Yes.
We'll just,
and then she didn't want to give.
And then she actually gets pregnant. Yeah. Which I thought was really good. Anyway, the point being is that's an example, I think, of a lot of men, is that they would take it but pretend they haven't taken it.
But he was in a relationship.
He was also in a TV show.
Because he didn't want to have a baby.
Yes.
I think the own... The
reason lots of men don't want to have babies.
Yeah, but not in a casual... You don't give a shit about having a baby in a casual fling.
Oh, I think you do.
But what?
It's terrifying.
Yeah, but if you never see the girl again, if it's somebody you met in a nightclub and you don't get their number and it's...
Oh, yeah, it'd still be terrifying that 20 years' time you'd get a knock on the door and...
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Chavvy turns up.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think... I don't think young men are thinking about that either.
I think they are. I think it's terrifying thing, you know. Yeah. I mean,
I do feel sorry for sperm donors. Let's just...
Oh, yes. We know somebody who's got 11 kids through sperm donation. Wow. I can't wait to see this documentary.
Thank you.
And I think once we get more information about the male contraceptive, I would definitely like to put that out there for my fellow male
Be, you know, obviously making the cut's going to go until we die. But
yeah, yeah.
This will be in 5 or 6 years' time. It's a long way off, but it is in the pipeline.
Now, on the subject of babies and fertility and stuff like that, I have been watching Clarkson's Farm this week with Sonny. We watched a few episodes of it, and I really like it. I know there's lots...
Is it a new series?
It's a new series,
Is it?
There's lots to dislike about Clarkson, but I mean, I like the fact that he's an open book, really, and he's prepared to humiliate himself all the time by the looks of things. But he's obviously trying to run a farm. He's got some cattle on there, and he's got some young veal on there that's running about and keep escaping. I mean, one of the things that's quite interesting about it, and I can imagine lots of vegans and vegetarians watching this and feeling a bit heartbroken, is that they take these young cattle and they remove them from their mothers and put them in another field. And that's quite brutal, but they keep escaping to go and try and find their moms.
Oh, no.
You know, and
oh, God, no.
That's quite sad. Yeah. Anyway, they do all the artificial insemination on these calves, you know, to then produce more calves, because he's trying to launch a restaurant and he wants all the produce for the restaurant to come from the farm, you know. So it's a really nice, sustainable idea and all the rest of it. And there's all sorts of opposition from the local towns. Lots of people hate Clarkson for all sorts of different reasons. But anyway, he's in this kind of farm shop, which isn't... Hey, Sonny. Which isn't a traditional farm shop. It sells farming goods, like stuff for, you know, sick cattle and stuff like that. But he's looking for a very specific thing, because he's artificially inseminated some cows.
Yeah.
And there is something called a mucol.
No.
Which instantly made me think of you.
McCall.
Mucol.
Davina McCall.
Exactly, right?
Shut the front fucking door.
But no. Mucol. Mucol. Yeah.
Davina McCall.
Now, do you know what this thing does?
Calls the little cows back.
No.
It's like they're mummies.
I know.
No.
It doesn't do that. It's not horrible, but weirdly, it is up your straza.
Oh, God.
It's really good, isn't it? So you attach the mucol... I mean, I'm not recommending this unless you've got cows, obviously. You attach the mucol to the tail at the back by the vagina, and the mucol sends you a text when they're about to have the baby. How good's that?
That's so me. Imagine if a woman could walk around with
the
mucol next to her vagina.
Yeah. So it obviously produces some stuff, and the tail starts to do strange things when the baby's coming. So you, as the farmer, get a text on your phone that said, cow number 698 is about to give birth.
My God, this is amazing.
Isn't it brilliant? And the fact that it's called mucol. I was like, oh my God, she has no idea that she'd... So I'm thinking, for the next advertising opportunity, if you were looking for an affiliation with a brand, I think the Davina mucol.
That's so good.
If we ever get a farm.
That's so good.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Oh my God!
Yeah. So it's a tricky recommendation, this one. So I'm gonna lump the recommendation into Clarkson's Farm season 2. It was in the papers quite a lot, obviously, because he applied for permission to have a restaurant on the farm, And then he's got to go and meet all the locals who hate him.
Oh, God.
And who are opposing this whole thing.
Oh, God.
And they don't let the cameras in, but he does keep his microphone on so you can hear the,
oh,
the
really?
Questions. And they're quite aggressive with him, but he handles them very well. I mean, he's a seasoned pro Clarkson.
Well, yeah.
Talking to people. And he can make himself extremely likable quite quickly. Mm. I see this with lots of people in that kind of media field, that they do that very, very well. But
well, does he win people over?
He wins a lot of people over,
does
he? And, you know, he faces some quite stiff opposition. Nice T-shirt. Some stiff opposition. People are really angry with him about what he's done to the area and stuff like that.
But what has he done to the area?
Well, he's just brought in lots of tourism, which has knackered all the roads. It's a really ugly car park. There's lots of people come for the touristy aspect of Clarkson.
Right.
He's not a real farmer. These are real...
Where is his farm?
In the Cotswolds, I think.
Let's go. I'm joking.
Oh, I'd like to. If he opens his restaurant, if he ever gets around to it or whatever, it'd be fascinating to go. But us, along with thousands of other people, are all tricked into this
bubble.
I was
being facetious, really.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a really good show. But the Moo Call thing really made me laugh.
I did watch a couple of episodes, I must say, even though I do find some of the things he says so hateful, but it's usually in a paper.
Yeah.
I did find Clarkson's farm funnier.
Yes.
Although some of it did feel a bit set up sometimes.
Oh, it definitely.
And
is.
I was like,
because we work in telly, we know. But
it was funny, and I actually really, really love his cast.
Oh, Caleb as well.
Oh,
Caleb's
but
fantastic.
Caleb, what's the name of the guy that I can't understand a word
he
said?
Yes, I can't remember his name either. But it's
God,
funny,
he is so funny. Listen, what's really interesting, Michael, is that I've quickly got a bit of news for you with a recommendation. Mm-hmm. Also about babies.
Okay.
How weird is that?
Baby-themed, yeah.
We've got a theme to today's show. Mm-hmm. Tessa Clemson, who I recommended last week, I think. Mm-hmm. Tessa Clemson Yoga. And I filmed with her for the Pill documentary. Mm-hmm. And she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And she's not pregnant anymore.
Because
she had a baby boy.
Congratulations.
And what's really lovely, because we had lots of chats about positive birth, because I enjoyed giving birth, and a bit like on the pill, on the lowdown, very few people talk about their positive births, but everybody shares their nightmares.
Yeah, of course,
And actually it's really important to say if you had a positive experience that you did. Mm. So I told Tessa about my amazing experience, and she'd had a fantastic first experience too. And she then sent me a very, very long, gorgeous WhatsApp that made me cry, telling me the story of her wonderful birth.
Yeah.
And she went to Blackburn Birth Centre. And if anybody on here knows anybody up north that would like to have as natural a birth as possible, and they live within a kind of 30-minute radius of Blackburn Birth Centre, you know, do look it up.
Yeah.
Really good birth centres are so far and few between. Well, not really good. All birth centres are good.
Yeah.
But there are so few of them.
Yeah, yeah.
There are so few birth centres anymore, because natural birth has kind of been demonised in some way. But if you want a natural birth, and you this is the way you want to go, Blackburn Birth Centre is the place to go. And Tessa, congratulations. We're all so made up for you.
Yeah.
I'm really, really, really happy for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, I just want to give a little shout out to Mod Shoes, and I think I talked about them, yeah. But my Mod Shoes turned up, and even with a broken ankle,
yeah,
I managed to squeeze them on my feet.
Yeah, you did. You crowbarred that broken ankle
Yeah, so I just wanted to give them another shout out because I'm just so happy. Shoes are the thing for me that I love the most, probably. They make or break any outfit. You can wear a slightly crappy outfit, but banging pair of shoes.
I've got to say, they are my favourite pair of shoes that you own. Yeah.
Well, my Zaha Berlins turn up this week, so I'm going to, once they've turned
we need to have a modelling.
Yes, I'll do a little
let's
parade.
Post it on.
I wanted to wait until I was out of this leg boot thing.
Well, you can just stand there.
Yeah, but I'd like to kind of waft around.
You want to waft around?
Yeah,
okay. Let's wait.
I'm going to wait. And then I'll do a whole shoe thing.
I just quickly wanted to say congratulations to you.
Oh, yeah.
You're in Harvey Nichols.
Yes, the MD London Blow. And the MD London Straight.
Is coming. When?
23rd of June.
This month,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
So straighteners.
I'm genuinely really excited.
Yeah, me too. I know. So it's going very well in Harvey Nichols. So if you're interested in seeing the MD London Blow, you can go to any Harvey Nichols around the country.
Yeah, because it's... Where are they? Leeds?
Well, I think
Manchester?
Edinburgh.
Dublin?
Leeds, Manchester and Liverpool, I think. Birmingham, Bristol, London.
So that's a lot of stores. Dublin. Congratulations, Dublin. You're abroad.
We're international. We're in Dublin.
International.
Yeah, yeah. So that's great. Okay, so one other thing I stumbled across this week, which
yes.
I thought was great.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Odd Coffee?
No.
Okay. Odd Coffee is these guys that have made a coffee business out of all the kind of leftover coffee at coffee factories that just don't make it into the pods. Not because it's bad, but you know, like it just falls out the machine or... It's
Has
left
it been on
in the
floor.
I don't believe it's been on the floor. It is literally just the excess coffee that doesn't make it into the
pot. I mean,
it's pot.
Like odd veg. You know, you can get an odd box
exactly.
of weirdly shaped
exactly
vegetables.
That.
Okay,
it
the
just
stuff
doesn't
that
make
gets
it.
It doesn't make the cut.
And what might happen is some coffee
the
might beans
the wrong size.
Some coffees might get contaminated with other coffees, so you can't put it in any particular range of coffee.
Oh, that's
you
clever.
What I mean?
Yes, I totally do.
So there's this company I stumbled across called Odd Coffee. Now I'm always looking.
Have you tried it?
No, but let me just find the blurb for you because I was pretty
impressed
with the whole thing.
Can we just say to all brands? I know our regular listeners do appreciate this. You have to have our story on your website.
Yeah.
You have to. It's the law.
So these are two chaps here called Lawrence and Harrison. During the first lockdown, we were living with each other in London and toyed with the idea of roasting some coffee. As one of those weird lockdown projects, we then found ourselves researching and came to learn that there was a considerable waste in the coffee industry. So they've taken all this waste and packaged it into odd coffee pots. So you can buy 100 Nespresso coffee pods and they're all random or a mixture of coffees.
Oh, I see. So it's not their own coffee. It's like just...
No, they go to all the coffee houses. So whether
just go,
it be
give us your
Starbucks, all the waste.
Odds and sods.
Odds and sods. We'll package it up. Sell it obviously a lot cheaper than you would buy an espresso pod for because it's a bit.
You don't know what you don't know what you're going to get. You could be buzzing for 10 hours.
So the story so far: our coffee roaster donated a pallet of dented coffee pods to our fourth floor, a flat in Greenwich that they couldn't sell. So it might be a dented coffee pod. There's coffee in there that's completely valuable.
Oh my God!
But the coffee pod's dented, so they can't sell it, right? Our little living room smelt fantastic and was covered in coffee as we sorted through 30,000 pods and
found
the best
working
one.
This is a great story.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Facebook Marketplace and started packing pods into boxes of 100. Inquiries flew in before we knew it. We were delivering to pods by hand on our push bikes.
Oh, wow, in lockdown.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, this is great.
We sold all the dented pods to like-minded people who loved great coffee and wanted to make positive change in the world. So it's super sustainable
That's
and all the rest
so
of it.
Nice.
But so let me just, I'll just show you here. So you've got the shop here.
Yeah.
And then you've got rescued Nespresso compatible pods.
Oh, listen, this is so brilliant.
And then pods. Or you've got rescue coffee beans.
And I love the fact that they call it rescue.
Yeah, yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Oh, so wow. It looks very like the grind box,
doesn't
it?
So you get the grind box and there's 100 random pods in there. So you can choose a lucky dip, an intense dip, so probably very strong coffee, the flavoured dip, where I'm guessing I'm not sure of it.
I think we'd like that.
Or the decaf dip. Now, if you subscribe to this, you get 100 pods for £22. That's 22p a coffee.
That's amazing.
Nespresso's about 50p
yes.
a pod. Your one-time purchase is £27.99, but if you want to subscribe, then it's £22 for 100 pods. But that's
pretty
good, isn't
it? I think that's brilliant.
So I like different coffees. I mean, I love grind. We have grind
and
we still get it.
I like the softness of grind.
It is really nice.
I have to say, the flavour of it, I miss when I'm away.
But some days, I want something else. Yeah, I want to hit something else.
We should get.
We've got the Sage coffee machine that you bought me for me. Do you have my birthday last year?
Yeah.
So I do like that. And I found a brilliant Italian coffee bean in Tunbridge Wells that
is
a knockout. It's from that Italian deli. I don't know. But wow, I'll take a picture of it and post that. But I do like sometimes just... I fancy something else or a lucky dip or something. So I'll get a box of this and we'll give it a whirl. Because, yeah, some mornings I just fancy, my palate fancies something something a bit different. But anyway, it's called, let me just find it again, oddcoffee.com. And you subscribe and they ship it out. And there's beans, there's ground coffee, and there's Nespresso pods. And there's various options about what you can buy there. Rescue Nespresso compatible, then there's pods, rescue whole bean coffee, rescue freshly ground coffee shop, and all the information you want about it. But I want to say congratulations to those two lads, because I, a bit like them, have started a company since lockdown.
And it's hard.
Well, it's fascinating. It's a fascinating, scary journey. But I just want them to know they're not alone.
Oh,
and for me
Michael,
to know that I'm not alone.
That's so nice.
And I will be purchasing some odd coffee.
That is so nice.
Yeah, it's a good recommendation, that one, isn't
it? So good. Before we go to, you look up listeners' recommendations now, because I would like to talk about us watching Fargo.
Oh, Fargo,
because
I forgot.
It's a very, very, very old film. It's from the late 1990s, 96. It's really old, a very young Frances McDormand in it.
And William H. Macy.
And William H. Macy. And I didn't realise that they were married. I learned that when I was watching it with you. You told me that.
Yeah.
But Fargo the series, obviously, is brilliant with Martin Freeman. But Fargo the film is an absolute... Joel Coen directed it.
Yes.
And absolutely brilliant. I love the Coen brothers.
Yeah.
And it has got so many people from The Big Lebowski in it. But... just everything about it, the way that it's shot, it's brilliant. The script in it is brilliant. The accents are amazing. The acting is second to none. It is an absolutely 10-star movie from me. I went and rated it on IMDb.
What
immediately.
Is it? 8.3?
8.3, 8.1 maybe. But it's...
Can I tell you, it falls into the golden category. It's 1 hour 34 and 8.3.
And I hadn't seen it since it came out.
Okay.
I'd only seen it the once. And I was like, can it possibly be as good as I remember? Because often I go back to a film that's nostalgic for me and I go back and watch it again and it's not as good.
No.
But the other thing I have to talk about very quickly before we go that everybody has to watch is still... the Michael J. Fox documentary.
Should we talk about this?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
It's a game changer.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always loved Michael J. Fox. I am of an age where I saw all of his films. His films had a completely, you know, enormous impact on me. Although I didn't realise how prolific he was later on in his life. And
with Spin City and all that, you mean?
Yeah, but he had Parkinson's then. I just... had no idea that when he came out as having Parkinson's, he'd already had it for 7 years.
Oh, I know.
And, but the documentary maker, what is the name of the man that made the documentary? Because the way that he pieced together all of the old footage of Michael's films and TV sitcoms and told the narrative using that
was
extraordinary.
It was good, wasn't it? Yeah. It's called Davis Gutterheim.
Gutterheim, that's it. Davis Gutterheim.
And anyone our age, I guess, or roughly around 50, will remember just how adorable Michael J. Fox was. And how lucky he got, obviously, by getting the Spielberg movie. Because I don't even know
how
that.
Hard
you know,
he worked to get there.
They'd shot a whole third of the movie with somebody else.
I didn't know that until I saw
Martin
the documentary.
McFly. Yeah. And then the director just said, this just is not working. You know, can we get Michael J. Fox?
And he was already on Family Ties.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to let him go. So Spielberg he was working day and night.
Spielberg had sent the script to the Family Ties people and they'd sat on it for a while. But in the end, I think they just said, do you know what? If you can shoot at night. And when you watch Back to the Future, you'll notice a lot of the scenes are shot at night. And it's because he was working all day on Family
Absolutely
Ties.
Insane.
He worked non-stop.
And you know what I loved was Family Ties was going to be about the couple.
Yeah,
and it ended up totally being about him because everybody just responded to him so well. And it is a classic case of just don't give up. Yeah. He had kind of 6 months of money left in LA.
Yeah.
Well, no, not even. He'd sold all his furniture. He'd sold everything.
Yeah.
And then he got this audition.
If you're interested in watching anything with Michael J. Fox in more recently, there's an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. You can just Google it. But Larry David rents an apartment underneath Michael J. Fox in New York. And, of course, all he can hear is him banging around upstairs. And he keeps complaining because Michael J. Fox has got these huge shoes on. And he says, well, all the noise upstairs, you know. And he's going, Parkinson's, Larry, I've got Parkinson's. He's like, is it Parkinson's, though? Or is it them big shoes? And he goes, Parkinson's, you know. And the whole thing is themed to that all the way through it.
But and
it's just
also
so good to see Michael J. Fox on screen again.
The Good Wife.
Acting and making, yeah. Oh,
he's
of
fantastic
course,
in
a lawyer.
The Good Wife with Julia Margolis in it. And he plays a lawyer who's got Parkinson's. And he's very hard to beat because the judges and the jury always feel sorry for him, and he absolutely milks that fact. It's brilliant.
It's another dream. It's 1 hour 35, 8.2. It's on Apple TV. It's a very
nice,
easy watch. Yeah, it's called Still, a Michael J. Fox movie. And, you know, a few people say it's a bit sad, but it's actually don't feel sad about it, although we did cry a little bit. But I think that's more to do with his family. When you see all of them together, there's something so rich and warm about that.
And I felt like so proud of him. Not proud, that's the wrong word, but so in awe. And I love him so much at the end of
it. Extremely likable person.
Extremely likable. Yeah. But also, having known a few Parkinson's sufferers, how long he has staved it off for, which is no mean feat.
Well, you learned quite
and
a lot about Parkinson's from
watching
it.
The work
it
that
well,
he has to do on himself in order to keep himself mobile.
I just want to say, because it feels relevant to do it now, the final episode of Succession.
Yes, you've got to talk about that now.
So,
no spoilers.
No spoilers, but I would definitely listen to Jeff and Sarah's podcast this week, Firecrotch and Normcore, because guess who they had on as their guest?
No.
Jesse Armstrong. Who is the creator and writer of Succession.
No!
And they did a live one in a theatre.
Are you joking?
Yeah, they did a live one in a theatre. So there's something really great about being able to go somewhere to discuss it and listen to other people talk about it. Because the final episode, season finales are often tricky. You know, I remember the Mad Men season finale. I felt
but this isn't just a season finale, this is a series.
It's a series finale, you're absolutely right. But I think it's brilliant, actually. It's very rare that you leave satisfied.
Yes.
I can't quite believe the outcome either.
Yes.
It knocked me for six. I really didn't see it coming.
I came into the kitchen and you were sat on the coffee table with your nose about one inch away from the screen.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, have you done that serious documentary about women and their fertility? Yeah, but I'm just watching Succession, so you're just going to have to wait. God, it's so good. So if you've not watched Succession, I would definitely give it a go from beginning to end. But the final episode was great, and I just wanted to say well done to everybody on that, but also to Jeff and Sarah for making
well done,
such a brilliant
Jeff and Sarah, and what a scoop.
So let's do a few shout-outs here. First one is from Marie Smale, I think, S-M-A-L-E. And she says, hello, I've just finished a fabulous documentary series on the BBC iPlayer, and I think you'd be interested in it. Once upon a time in Northern Ireland, our generation grew up aware, but not massively affected by the Troubles, unless you lived there. I think this doc is really brilliantly done by the BBC. I highly recommend. Thank you, Marie, because I love anything. I mean, it sounds a bit weird to say I love it, but I love anything about the Troubles, because I don't know enough about it.
Yes.
And it's such a complex issue that I just want information all the time about it. So that sounds great. Once Upon a Time in Northern Ireland on the BBC iPlayer from Marie Smale. Thank you very much indeed, Marie. It's very, very great. This is Lisa Cadman. She says, hi, guys. I have a film recommendation for you. It's on Amazon Prime, rates 7.5 on IMDb, and is 115 minutes long. It's called Air. It's about how Nike got Michael Jordan. we'd forgotten all about
so
we'd watched this.
No, I was going to save that.
We're going to save this for next week, Lisa Cadman, but I'm going to read out your message. Michael Jordan and how the Air Jordan shoes came about. I really think Michael will enjoy this. as he recommended the documentary about Michael Jordan on the previous podcast. It's got a great cast. Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Jason Bateman, Viola Davis, Chris Rock. Love you guys and love the pod. Can I say, Lisa, we've watched this probably about 5 or 6 days ago, and God, it's a great story,
so good.
Isn't it? And I went onto YouTube and found loads of interviews with Michael Jordan as well soon after that, when he was at his fame on like The Late Late Show and Letterman and stuff like that. So it was really good. What I would say to people is that, first of all, it should get more than 7.5 on IMDb. I think it's worth more than that. But the other thing is, if you've not seen The Last Dance, it is probably worth watching The Last Dance before you watch this film, because it just gives you some idea.
Of Michael Jordan.
The scale of Michael Jordan. He literally changed the world.
But the numbers at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, I had no idea how... I guess when you're talking about multi-million pound corporations, we are now so much more diverse as nations than we were in the 70s. When you look at the vast majority of the people that work at those companies, they're all white middle-aged men. Middle-aged. I would say middle-aged men.
Culture, yeah.
Men.
Yeah.
You know, very few women, very few people of colour. And I just thought it was... That, to me, was like, oh, wow, it's quite kind of jarring. And there they are trying to get all these young black sportsmen to wear their trainers, but they're white middle-aged men, and how they had a kind of token black man. Not a token black man, because he was clearly very good at his job, but that guy that was like...
Chris Rock.
He was kind of sent in...
Not Chris Rock.
Not Chris Rock. It was the guy that was in The Fifth Element. I can't remember his name. But anyway, he...
Chris Tucker, well done.
Yeah, he was sort of sent in to... it was just, I found that side of it really fascinating.
So good,
I mean, I guess we've talked about it now.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really, really good.
But yeah, Air is a great film, directed by Ben Affleck.
Yes, very, very good.
Let's have a little walk here. Good book review, Confessions of a 40-something fuck-up by Alexandra Potter. OMG, best book I've read all year, apart from menopausing. Great summer read for anyone in their 40s going through life, breakups, self-doubt and questions in everybody else's life. Perfect for your podcast. And thank you, Suzanne Ann. She's called Suzanne Ann. That's quite good, isn't it? Suzanne
Ann. That's so good.
Yeah. So it's called Confessions of a 40-something Fuck-Up by Alexandra Potter. That sounds brilliant, Suzanne. And thanks so much for that recommendation. Let's have one more from Kane Thompson. Do you want to read it out, actually?
Yes, I do. Hi, Davina and Michael. Absolutely love the podcast. Love listening to it on my walks with my dog, Buzz, as in Lightyear. that's quite funny, because you've called your dog Buzz, as in Lightyear, and I got my cats before we got together, but my cats, our cats now, are called Sully and Boo, as in Monsters, Inc. Yeah. I wonder
Pixar.
How many people have
called Pixar.
Yeah, Pixar, yeah. Pixar. We recommendation for yous. Oh, I love the accent, Kane, definitely. Once Upon a Time in Northern Ireland on a BBC iPlayer. That's interesting. We haven't done that already, have we?
Yes, somebody else has recommended it.
But we haven't talked to Kane. It wasn't
Kane.
Someone else.
Yeah. Read it, because
that's somebody who listens to us and knows, because you did say you want to learn more about Northern Ireland, so that's fantastic. I know how much you two love Northern Ireland-related things, and this is just a great but sad documentary about the Troubles. And we are going to watch that
this week and review
it.
And review it, yeah. We'll do a little recommendation.
Great.
That's fantastic.
Thank you so much, Kane. That's great.
So this is from Denise Bellinghi, I think. Is that Bellinghi or Bellinghi?
Yes. We look at her picture. Click on her picture.
Oh, my God. We know Denise. She was the PR The Jump.
She's amazing.
So it says, hey, both. It's Den.
I like Den, I like obviously.
That. Yeah. PR, ex-Channel 4, The Jump,
oh,
UK
God,
TV,
she
Davina.
Was great.
She did the Davina Hour.
Yeah, that, of course. It was it was one of my greatest shows that no one watched.
It's very nice to hear from you, Denise. It says, mad love to you both.
Oh.
I have an amazing friend called Sam Bunch. Great name. She's written two books, Conversations with 100 Women and then 100 Men. I'd love to get a light shining onto these.
That's
good, aren't they? Yeah, if you're interested, I can always DM you. Yes,
yes.
DM us, but let's have a quick look at this.
Men Talk.
Given half the chance.
Oh, do you know what this slightly reminds me of? Please don't judge me, anybody, but Nancy Friday, who's an erotic novelist, Nancy Friday wrote Men in Love, I think, and it was about men's sexual fantasies. God, it was so interesting.
Dark.
But, well, it's so different to women's sexual fantasies. And she's done a woman's one and a men's one. It's a book from the 70s. I saw it on someone's, and then I bought a copy of both.
Okay.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I bet.
But Men Talk and Women Talk, you know, you can never tell us that we're the same.
Yeah,
we are not the same. We are gloriously different.
I have a friend of mine who's a barber called Tom Chapman, and he wrote a book called How to Listen So Men Will Talk. Because barbers obviously just sit with men all day, every day, 8 to 10 people a day. And you do learn this ability to draw conversation out of men.
I've never thought about the fact that barbers do that too.
Yes, I mean, the haircut is probably only about 30% of why men go to a barber.
Wow.
They go, you know, like there's lots of women's spaces, essentially.
Yes.
And they're protected, rightly so.
Yes.
There are very few male spaces, I would say, that aren't really aggressive or get a bit edgy.
Yes.
When you think about going to a football match, you'd say, well, it's predominantly a male space.
Yes,
Actually, it's a bit edgy.
It's edgy and you're always on guard. And
something, going to a barbershop is largely where men go, or, you know, young boys. And it's got a certain freedom about it for men. You can sometimes get a beer there, but you get a haircut, but you get men chat. And it can be about perhaps your hair thinning, or it could be about money, or it can be about sex, or but it's largely male talk.
Mm.
And there's something very nice about that. But he wrote a book about trying to get men to talk a bit more, because I think he suffered a bit.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
I wonder if male barbers are like more male, because I feel like one of your greatest attributes is that even though you have two sons, you are unbelievably attuned to your feminine side. And that's because you spend so much time with women.
Yeah.
That I wonder if men are attuned to their male side because they spend so much time. Barbers, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting men's hair.
Possibly.
Like.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very... There was something that happened around that whole Peaky Blinders explosion where these barbershops became very
really
kind of cool, but really inviting.
Important.
And very male-heavy. You know, it was all like burnt wood and old scaffolding
so
poles. And lots of male things in there.
Yeah.
And it's all to do with shaving and beards and
masculinity,
you know.
Well, you even go to a barber to get your beard done,
Yeah, absolutely. People go and just go and get a face massage and stuff like that. So anyway, it was Tom Chapman, How to Listen So Men Will Talk.
That's great.
He did very, very well. So anyway.
So many recommendations there at the end.
Good one, innit?
Yeah.
All right, take it easy. Have a lovely day. I'm talking to my girlfriend at this point. And everybody else, I'm going to talk to you now. Take it easy. Have a lovely day. I've lost the plot.
Bye.
See ya.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.